This is DW News live from Berlin. U.S. Democrats debut their new presidential ticket. Joe Biden is due to make his first campaign appearance today alongside running mate Kamala Harris. Her selection makes history in the U.S., but how much do vice presidents really matter? Also on the program, three dead in Scotland after a passenger train comes off the rails. The First Minister declares a major incident as emergency services attend the scene. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. US presidential candidate Joe Biden is due to make his first campaign appearance alongside his running mate, Kamala Harris. The new Democratic ticket will debut at a high school near Biden's home in the state of Delaware. Harris is the first woman of colour to be nominated for a national office by a major party. Democrats hope her profile will boost efforts to beat Donald Trump in November.
One-time rivals now joining forces to launch a historic presidential bid. This was how Joe Biden asked the California Senator Kamala Harris to help him reach the White House. Opinions are divided.
I think it's great news. I think it's long overdue for us to have a black woman, a minority woman, be vice president.
I think it's a little bit risky because she's a highly controversial candidate.
In fact, it was Biden who welcomed the tough-on-crime prosecutor onto the national political scene when she was sworn into the Senate in 2017.
I did.
From there, she burnished her credentials as a combative lawmaker.
The president has asserted that torture works. Do you agree with that statement?
And for the last time, yes or no? Did you have any communications with Russian officials?
Striking fear into her opponents.
I'm not able to be rushed this fast. It makes me nervous.
In 2019, she ran for the Democratic presidential nomination herself. That campaign saw her cross-examine Biden over his track record on race.
As part of Joe's generation.
It was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country.
It's a mischaracterization of my position across the board. I did not praise racists.
They buried the hatchet when she dropped out of the race and backed him to win the nomination.
Racial justice is on the ballot in 2020. And Joe Biden is on the ballot in 2020.
And so now is Harris. With rumours that the ageing Biden may only serve a single term, it's a landmark pick that may one day propel her to become the first female president.
So, do presidential running mates matter? Well, who better to ask than the author of a book by that name? Christopher Devine joins us from Dayton, Ohio, in the United States. Welcome to DW. What will Kamala Harris's job in the campaign be?
Phil, it's good to join you. I have to say, I watch DW every day, so really glad to be here. So, Kamala Harris's role in the campaign, first of all, is to reassure voters about Joe Biden's judgment. That's what we find in our research, my book with Kyle Kopka of Elizabethtown College. We find that primarily running mates influence how people think about the presidential candidate. So Kamala Harris needs to show that she is up to the job, that she could step in to be vice president and president if necessary. And our research shows if she does that, she's likely to have a positive effect on how voters view Joe Biden and maybe make them more likely to vote for Biden, although not dramatically so, just at the margins.
Okay, so her job then is to bring in the outliers of Biden supporters. Can I characterize it that way?
I think everybody, this would apply to swing voters, but also maybe some people who are leery about him in the progressive base of the party. I mean, one thing that's tricky about Kamala Harris is that she's hard to place ideologically. Is she a win for the progressives in the party? She is more to the left, but she's not exactly a win according to many progressives. They think that she's not progressive enough. So, you know, she's designed, I think, to appeal to a wide range of voters, primarily within the Democratic coalition. But also, if there are people who are, let's say, disaffected Republicans, maybe independents or other swing voters, at least they probably won't be alienated by this pick like they would be if Biden had made some reckless electoral gamble and picked someone, you know, just to try to win a swing state and indicate to voters that maybe this guy doesn't have the judgment to do the job as president.
Good talking to you. Thank you for joining us, Christopher Devine.
Now, police in Scotland say three people were killed when a passenger train came off the tracks in the northeast of the country. They were pronounced dead at the scene. Six others have been taken to hospital. The incident followed a night of heavy rain and thunderstorms in the area.
Aerial pictures show the full extent of the accident. The train derailed near Stonehaven in Scotland, about 160 kilometres northeast of Edinburgh. The sound of sirens could be heard from afar, and thick smoke billowed from behind the hilly terrain. Authorities say they were called to the scene just before 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Dozens of emergency service vehicles arrived soon afterwards. Shortly after the first reports of the crash, Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, addressed local lawmakers.
The emergency services are currently on site and a major incident has been declared. I have just come off a call with Network Rail and the emergency services, and although details are still emerging, I am afraid to say that there are early reports of serious injuries.
In a tweet, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said it was a very serious incident, and his thoughts are with all of those affected. The cause of the incident is unclear, although the area was hit by thunderstorms and flash flooding overnight. These pictures were released on social media by Network Rail, the company that maintains Scotland's railways. They are working alongside emergency services as investigations into what caused the accident continue.
We'll take a quick look now at some of the other stories making news around the world. Security forces in Mali have used tear gas to disperse hundreds of protesters who'd camped out overnight in the capital, Bamako. They're demanding the resignation of President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita because of the faltering economy and an ongoing insurgency in the country's north. The Prime Minister of Mauritius says engineering teams have removed almost all of the oil from on board a grounded Japanese ship. More than 1,000 tonnes have already spilled into the waters around the island after the vessel ran aground on a coral reef. Flooding in South Sudan has forced an estimated 135,000 people from their homes. One of the worst affected places is the town of Bor, where heavy rains caused the nearby White Nile River to burst its banks. Efforts to reinforce a levee prevented even more of the town being swamped. Germany has pledged 20 million euros for relief efforts in Lebanon. On a visit to Beirut, Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said the aid was contingent on Lebanese authorities tackling corruption. He met emergency responders at the site of last week's massive explosion, which killed more than 170 people. We'll start with football. Europe's top eight football clubs are in the Portuguese capital, Lisbon, competing for the coveted Champions League crown. Arpad Sozi is here to talk about the quarterfinals. So welcome, Arpad. The action kicks off tonight. What has the mood in Lisbon been like?
Well, it's quiet and cautious and quiet again because there are no fans because of the COVID-19 outbreak. And normally at a time like this where the eight best teams in Europe, supposedly the eight best teams are playing against each other, you would have the tens of thousands of supporters there. Not even if they can't get into the stadiums, they'd be in the restaurants and in the pubs and everything. Now, the Portuguese Prime Minister is putting on a brave face and saying, come on down. Even though if you can't get into the stadium, you can enjoy the city. It's going to be great. There's still going to be a lot of atmosphere. Everyone's putting on a brave face. And we also have a correspondent on the ground there in Lisbon, and he's been talking to some of those brave faces. So why don't we take a look at his report right now?
Lisbon's main square that should be full of football fans. The coronavirus has turned the city into a ghost town, lacking an atmosphere, UEFA branding. There's little evidence of European football's best.
It's really strange in Lisbon that at the moment there is no one, there is no tourists, and actually in the middle of August, this is like never seen before.
For me, safe, completely safe. I prefer to stay in Lisbon to stay in another country.
We are known as one of the best, I will say, people to receive foreigners, and it's quite hard for us not to have it because it's a good part of the economy. Particularly, I may say that the English ban in some point could make some unfairness.
Estadio de Luge, where for the likes of Bayern Munich and RB Leipzig, new hygiene regulations. Clubs must enter the pitch separately, they have water bottle restrictions, and there are guidelines around team buses. Paris Saint-Germain checked out the main venue before today's opener against Atalanta. Back in the centre, as Portuguese tourism struggles, could a stripped-back Champions League be a source of hope and opportunity to Lisboetas?
How good is it? It is. Very good for our economy, for our star, yeah. And, yeah, football, yeah.
There's not going to be any tourism-related income out of this because it's just the teams. No supporters. So I think it's just a question of visibility, really.
Guys, don't be afraid. It is a security country. Come here to visit us.
UEFA, in fact, opted to move its flagship event to Portugal because of the country's favourable COVID-19 numbers. But despite the precautions, the planning, that two Atletico Madrid players have tested positive for the coronavirus before the tournament's even started is a reminder that this unique Champions League remains a risk to all of those involved and to Portugal and its people.
So, Arpad, despite the lack of fans and tourists in Lisbon, it should be lively inside the stadiums when Italian side Atalanta face the French champions PSG tonight.
That's right. Well, I mean, on paper, it looks fantastic, at least for PSG fans. I mean, there are who's who of football greats, starting with the world's most expensive player, Neymar. And they're up against a team that comes from the epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak. Atalanta comes from Bergamo, just very close to Milan. And that's where many, many people died because of COVID-19. And they would like nothing more than to give hope and great enjoyment by beating PSG. And they are a hardworking side, and they are worthy. They are capable of upsets. I mean, nobody expected them to get this far. So it could be a very interesting match. Again, concentration on the game. There are no fans. It's going to be quiet. But there's an interesting point to all of this that's happening now. If you have the language capabilities and the announcers and talking too much, you can listen to what the players are saying to each other on the field. And that's very interesting. Now, it's not exactly poetry. I just want to put that warning out there for everybody. But it is interesting. Sometimes it's kind of mean. Sometimes it's really good advice. It makes the game a little bit different. Fans, on TV at least.
We have German Bundesliga sides, Bayern Munich and Leipzig, kicking off later this week against La Liga opponents. Do you believe that either of them can win all the way through?
Well, I don't think Leipzig is going to get past this point. I think Atletico Madrid, they were finalists in twice this decade already. So I think that they're hungry to get to the final this time, win it. They have the stars. As for Bayern Munich, I really do think that they could make it all the way to the final. This should be the final, actually, between Barcelona and Bayern Munich. That's what everybody says. But they've got Bayern have Robert Lewandowski, 53 goals to his credit this season. Nobody else has come close to that. And 13 of those are in the Champions League. The closest to him in the Champions League have scored 6 goals. So they're all great matchups.
All right. Good talking to you, Arpad. Thank you so much for joining us. Arpad Sozi from DW Sport. This is DW News. Here's a reminder of our top story at this hour. US presidential candidate Joe Biden is due to make his first campaign appearance with running mate Kamala Harris. The senator from California is the first woman of color to be nominated for a national office by a major party. Sit, you're up to date. Brent Goff will have your next world update at the top of the hour. In the meantime, of course, there's always the website, dw.com. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @DW News. Have a good day.